As Asian American author Lisa Coe wrote in an op-ed piece in the New York Times, as a child, she was expected to love hamburgers and Sara Lee pound cakes and Swanson TV dinners because, as the first in her family to be born in America, it was a sign that she'd been assimilated and they'd arrived. But she eventually developed food allergies and realized that when her family gorged on Velveeta, they were trying to drown out guilt about those left behind and fear about economic uncertainties that lay ahead. And they were in the country legally. Now, in her debut novel, Lisa gives those anxieties to a young boy. He is born in America. His mother is an undocumented immigrant from China. The book is called The Leavers. It centers around the little boy, Deming Go, the son of Polly, who labors at a nail salon. They live in a crammed apartment in the Bronx with a makeshift family of other immigrants. There are cockroaches and two to a mattress, but they speak the same language and there is joy. Then, when Deming is 11, Polly goes to work one day and doesn't come back. Deming is left to look for answers.
Like a detective inspecting the same 5 seconds of surveillance video he replayed last Wednesday afternoon, walking the blocks from school to home. Again and again, Deming and Mama crossed Fordham Road, waited at the light, slipped on the ice, hugged, Mrs. Johnson forever watching. He zoomed in on the frames, slow-motioned their walk up University, then reversed it, so they goose-stepped downhill, cars and buses groaning backwards. He picked apart the words she said, hunting for clues, the way his English teachers made them read poems and spend 20 minutes talking about a sentence, the meaning behind the meaning. The meaning behind her telling him about her life, the meaning of her not coming home.
Lisa Coe reading from The Leavers. So did Mom just walk out on him? She owed money. Was she killed? Was she deported? Deming is ultimately adopted by a well-meaning white couple who change his name to Daniel, move him to upstate New York, the only Asian there. The Leavers won the 2016 Penn Bellwether Prize for socially engaged fiction. Lisa Coe joins us in the studio. Congratulations. And we understand part of the inspiration for the book was your own life, growing up one of the few Asians in the town you lived in New Jersey.
A lot of the emotion does come from there, especially the chapters where Deming's transported from the big city to this small town, and he's suddenly super out of place in his new home.
Where was your family from?
We're ethnically Chinese, but my parents were born and raised in the Philippines, and I was born in New York and raised, as you said, in New Jersey.
You were born and raised here, mm-hmm. but still felt what when you were the only Asian or one of the only Asians in a white community? And what did you give to your character, Daniel?
In earlier drafts, his life was a little too bleak, and I really wanted to give him more joy. So I gave him a best friend. I gave him music. He's a musician, and he really falls in love with music. And that was something that I really related to and that partly came from my own experience. Growing up in this suburban town where I felt like I didn't belong, there was a way that I could use it to my advantage, and that in so many ways, that was why I became a writer and an artist. So claiming music for myself and sort of falling in love with that was a way to create an identity outside of these other identities.
Yeah, but you also have these sort of wince-inducing, well-meaning white parents who, first of all, change his name from his birth name that he'd had for 10 years.
They just want him to fit in.
But he has that moment that you pray a child has where he finds his father's old Jimi Hendrix records, loves them, and yet everyone says, oh, no, you have to be a good student and be responsible. And,
right.
You know, that they take it away.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want him to be Jimi Hendrix. They just want him to listen to Jimi
Hendrix. Well, do they want him to be a model minority, which he's not?
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things I wanted to explore in the book was this question of what does it mean to be a fit parent? A lot of the news stories that I was inspired by had U.S. courts saying adoptive American families have the resources to be better parents. So to me, I was really interested in that question. And his adoptive parents have social and economic capital, and they're really kind of, as professors, pressuring him to be like them, you know, and to reassure them that their choices are the right ones.
Well, when you say in the accounts that you were reading, that's the other inspiration you had. You read news stories, including one about the detention mm-hmm. of an undocumented immigrant who lost her child to the foster system.
Yeah, and there are actually many cases of this that I read about. Parents have been deported or detained, and they're not allowed to take their kids with them, even if they want to.
Because the kids were born here.
Because the kids were born here, but, you know, it's really heartbreaking. And it also brings up a lot of questions about identity and family because the U.S. government is saying these kids belong in the U.S. with adoptive parents who are mainly white and middle class, yeah. not with their birth parents.
Right. I think this book is uniquely a story about Asian immigrants. It's uniquely that on one level. But I was thinking you could read this through other prisons. You know, anyone who's taken out of a poverty situation, taken away from a parent, mm-hmm. and is suddenly in a home the way Deming Daniel is his name mm-hmm. when he gets his name gets changed. And he's looking, there's more rooms in his home in upstate New York than in his entire tenement.
Right.
He marvels that his adoptive mother just swipes a credit card and
right.
gets him something. Like, what's
right.
that? There's sort of anger about it.
Yeah.
You know, discovering inequity.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's not a really large geographical migration, like from China to New York. It's from a city in New York to a small town in New York, but it's still a really big distance psychologically for him.
Yeah. This is one of the first Asian characters we've read in a long time uh-huh. that he's not good at school.
Yeah.
You know, he's not good at his studies. But what's happening inside him? What's going on?
Well, you know, he's a young boy who's lost everything he's known. His mother has disappeared. He doesn't know why. He struggles with these issues of abandonment and loss. He's really going through a lot of trauma and mourning. And he's not given the tools in his new family to really process this.
He's not allowed to hold on to his identity.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
and
nobody
really understands, right? So that's kind of behind his status as a student.
Well, you just look at food. They make him drink milk because they think it's good for him. It makes him sick.
Right.
And you have him go back to visit this childhood friend that he grew up with in this crammed apartment uh-huh. building. And he just chows down on tofu, beef, mushroom casserole, greens with garlic, crispy pork, whole steamed fish.
Oh, I'm getting hungry. I think there's a way that smelling food that he hasn't smelled for a long time kind of is just this shortcut way of bringing him back to his childhood. You mm-hmm. know, there's a way that smell is the most powerful way to access nostalgia and memory. And suddenly having access to that when he visits is just this amazing kind of emotional way of reconnecting to that.
Yeah. He becomes something of a screw-up, not unlike a lot of 20-somethings, but we know
yes.
it's because he's so unmoored.
Yeah.
We're not going to give away the ending, but it's heartbreaking when you see how disrupted lives are when, let's just say, we remind you again, she was undocumented, and this country has policies. Are you trying to say something about those policies, or is it just about, here's what happens when your identity gets wrenched and you don't know who you are?
I think what compelled me in the first place to write about this was just how shocked and horrified I was at learning about a lot of these policies and the effects they had on families. The questions that these stories raised regarding family and identity and culture and assimilation were ultimately the most interesting and what kind of drove it.
Yeah. It also seems like a book that should be written about adopting parents. About any child that comes from a culture that maybe is different from your own. Maybe honor that culture. Don't try to erase it.
Right. Yeah. And to me, it's really interesting about the idea even of culture because it's definitely not something that's static. I think a lot of the ways that we talk about immigration and culture in the U.S. kind of has this idea of like one static culture meeting another static culture. and in reality, you know, assimilation is a lot more complicated than that. And I'm interested in the reasons why we're asked to assimilate and into what and why.
Yeah. By the way, we just a note for all writers out there, you weren't getting anything going, no traction. And so you set yourself a goal of 50 rejections a year.
Yeah. I ended up a few years ago trying to aim for rejections rather than acceptances when I sent out my work. It just felt a little easier for me, a kind of glasses half empty type person.
Well, yeah. Well, I got a rejection. Well, I'm
yeah,
moving towards
you know.
50.
So you're celebrating it instead of feeling really distraught, even though you kind of feel distraught. But yeah, I sent out this manuscript on a whim to the Penn Bellwether Prize, which is funded and established by Barbara Kingsolver. Totally forgot about it. And then 6 months later, I got a phone call from Barbara telling me I'd won.
And you went, oh, darn, I was looking for that 49th rejection.
Now I'll never reach that goal now. I'll turn it down.
Lisa Koh, her debut novel is The Leavers. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.